Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Jesus, be the center of my life. That's my prayer this evening. God sent me tonight to say something to you. He put a word on my heart, and He confirmed it in worship. It's amazing to me. I typically have nothing to do with the songs that are chosen. I don't choose them. Pastor Matt does an incredible job, and I leave it to the expert, right? Okay? And what we just sang over the past few minutes is right in line with what God wants me to preach this evening. And I believe with all my heart that somebody in this room needs to stop. You need to stop thinking about giving up, because there's hope in Jesus. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. You can do it. You can do it. There's this show, I don't know if you've seen it. It's really, really weird. My son, it's a kid's show, okay? So it's called Yo Gabba Gabba. Yeah. It's strange, beyond strange. And there's this song, it says, don't stop, don't give up. Don't stop, don't give up. Keep trying, don't give up. Never give up. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. But you need to understand the Spirit of God wants to put infuse you with some hope tonight. If you will just have ears that hear, amen? God wants to pour hope into your life. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I step out of myself, I step out of my own ability, and I step into the authority of Your Holy Spirit. As the pastor of this youth ministry, Father, I pray that You would anoint my lips to speak the truth in love to a generation that needs to not back down in the face of adversity. I pray that You would empower our ears tonight to hear the voice of Your Spirit speaking clearly to us that now is not a time to back down or stop in our pursuit of who You are, Jesus. But now, more than ever before, You need us to press forward. No matter what we're facing in this life, God, give us the courage and the strength to not quit, to not give up, to not back down, but to press forward in who You are and the strength that You give us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. If you've got your word, please turn with me to Romans chapter 5. That's where we'll start, and we will conclude tonight in Hebrews chapter 12. Romans chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 12. Tonight is a very important day in our nation's history. It's September the 11th. And 12 years ago, our nation was rocked. The forces of darkness and evil men plotted to strike at the epicenter of our financial world. And planes hit the World Trade Center. And the first point tonight, I was writing my notes down for this sermon. It's a question, where were you when the towers fell? And I was thinking to myself, wait a second, I think it was the Lord speaking to me. He said, Pastor Jonathan, they were pretty young. That was 12 years ago. Most four-year-olds don't know where they're at. Okay? So I just wanted to share with you where I was at. Okay? So I brought that point up. Okay? I want to explain to you the day it happened. I remember it very vividly. I was working at the YMCA. How many of you have ever been to the YMCA? No, it was not a homosexual dance, okay? Yes, it was a real place. I was working there as a strength trainer. It was awesome. I would set people up on a weekly workout routine. I'd show the old folks how to use the machines, right? Yeah. It was a fun job, you know. They'd make a little appointment, and I'd walk around with a clipboard and say, yeah, this is for your lats, this is for your buys, this is your tries. Yeah, typically on back and by day, you do a lot of pull. On chest and tries day, you do a lot of push. And I do that, right? I was a strength trainer. And another one of my responsibilities was to kick little kids off of equipment, right? How many of you have been in a gym and some little kids, like, swinging like a monkey from the bar, right? It's crazy. So you kick kids out. And here's my absolute, I hated it. One of my responsibilities was to go and to scan the locker room. Yes. Make sure no mischief was going on in the locker room, right? And so I hated it. Every time I would walk to the door of the locker room, I would say this simple prayer. God, please let them have clothes on today. Please, Lord. Because it would never fail, there would be some old guy completely naked. It's disgusting. I hated my job because of it. Okay? I've been scarred. That image. Oh, my Lord. Please, God, don't let them, please, let them have the strength to put a towel around it. Okay? Come on. Yeah. I'm trying not to put an image in your mind tonight. I hated it. Another responsibility that I had is every hour I would have to walk up. At the very top, there was a cardio section where all the treadmills and stuff were at, right? And that was a cool place to hang out because that's where all the TVs were, right? And so I would hang out up there, and I'd check out ESPN. I'd see what was going on. And I'll never forget because I was up there at the cardio place, and all of a sudden, the plane hit. Tragedy happened. People were whispering, what in the world is going on? Can you believe it? A huge accident happened. A plane ran into a building in New York. And immediately in the back of my mind, I thought to myself, there is no way on God's green earth that that kind of accident happens in New York City. Immediately, my gut, my spirit was grieved, and I said, you know what? There is something more to this. And as minutes went by, crowds came around and people were talking, whispering, asking questions, and people were saying, oh, it's this tragedy, this horrible accident. And I said to the people around me, I said, that's no accident. This is crazy. Something bad is not right with this. And as I was saying it, the second plane hit and we watched it in live action. And that's when everybody in the place, this overwhelming sense of, my God, what's happening? And at that moment, our nation had to come to a moment in our history where we had to resolve. Tonight, I've come to communicate that God wants us to overflow with resolve. Tonight, our nation celebrates that 12 years ago, what evil tried to stop us with could not effectively win. We have enough resolve as a country of God-fearing believers to stand in the face of the worst of tragedies and say, like a tree planted by the water, we won't be moved. We have enough resolve to say, you can fight, but we will fight harder. You can come against us, but we will come right back. And we'll whip you, son. Our nation had to stand up on the inside, and it proved to us that there was something good in our country. But there was still a sense of fear, remorse, and confusion that sets in. And I believe if we took a poll, maybe a silent poll where everyone was just gut level honest, some of you are in this room tonight and you feel like you're in the middle of your personal tragedy, where everything is falling apart. Everything feels like it's coming against you. And tonight, the Lord wants to communicate to you to stand up on the inside and have an overflow of resolve. Amen? Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 3. It says this, not only so, but we so glory in our sufferings. In our sufferings. God, that's crazy. Be excited about our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. When hard times come your way, what do you have to do? You have to stand up and persevere. Amen? And most of us, here's the problem. The word says perseverance brings character. And many times, let me just preach for a second. Many of times we face hard times. We face trials and tribulation, and we don't experience the next step. We feel stuck in this rut of, God, nothing good is happening in my life ever. I've spent years of going through it. And let me just tell you, maybe the reason you're still stuck in your suffering is because in your perseverance, you have not produced and built the godly character that you know you should have. Maybe because you knew some lessons have been taught to you and you've been mentored, and some of your very, very close mentors, maybe it's relatives, youth pastors, you've heard sermons, you've heard the Word of God, and you've heard man, character, you've got to make right decisions. But you continually choose not to. Many times that's why we get stuck in our suffering. But if we persevere, that builds character. And the Bible says character builds hope. And that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's good news this evening. That's good news that if you are going through it tonight, God's trying to produce some character in you, which is going to then produce some hope. And that hope, other translation says, will not disappoint because it's found in Jesus. Amen? Amen. I hope you're hearing me this evening. See, I want to remind somebody this evening that according to Hebrews 12, verse 28, the Bible says that we are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. John 16, 33 says that we will have trials and tribulations that come our way. Let me give some examples. Your life may feel like it's falling apart. Your life may be beyond confusing right now. Some of you are in a state where you don't know what to do next. You're faced with some decisions that are so confusing, you're frozen. You don't want to make a wrong move, so you're staying right where you're at. You don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. Maybe cancer is devastating your family. Your teachers are stretching you beyond your limits. Can I get an amen? It's beyond frustrating. Your cherished significant other just crushed your heart, maybe. You're faced with trial, tribulation, suffering. But let me remind you that it's not our job to understand what's going on. It's not our right to blame God when life gets difficult. It's our job to be obedient to His Word. Amen? It's our job to be obedient. And if we persevere, we'll build an unshakable character that will produce hope. See, when you sign up to become a believer of this gospel, you're joining the winning team. That means you win. That means that no matter what this life brings your way, if you are partnered and connected with Jesus Christ, in the end, no matter what happens, you win. That's good news. Somebody needs to hear that. See, some of us in this room may be having suicidal thoughts. Some of us in this room, you are depressed out of your mind. If you are honest, you cry yourself to sleep more times than you don't. Some of us in this room are all but deeply defeated and self-conscious about your failure. You keep trying to do what's right, but failure after failure after failure has got you so beat up in your mind that you're ready to just quit. And God, in His sufficient grace, is speaking to you tonight through the power of His Holy Spirit. Do not give up. Do not quit. We win. If you keep persevering, it will develop something inside of you that cannot be developed any other way than what you're going through right now. And if you keep persevering, it will develop that character. And I promise you, I've been through some things. My life has not been perfect. Just as Jesus said, I have faced trial and tribulation, but I have a hope that will never let me down. And it's found in Jesus. That's good preaching. You're way too quiet for that. See, some of us are so depressed. You feel like everything you touch is falling apart. Man, if I put any effort into anything, it just fails. If I try, if I persevere, if I keep going, it's just going to fail. So why do anything? I just want to quit. You need to stand up on the inside and find some resolve, students. See, I have news for you tonight. Don't stop. Don't give up. Your answer tonight is Jesus. His grace is sufficient for your needs. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He is a God of the impossible. He still does miracles today. The only thing He can't fix is when you quit. The only thing He can't fix is when you decide to stop. The only thing He can't help, He won't force you to do anything. So when you lay down and you buckle and you say, no, I'm defeated. Here's the white flag. I quit. Stop fighting. Stop attacking me, Satan. I give in. The battle's yours. That's the only thing that Jesus can't help you with, is a defeated mindset. So we as a generation, we need to rise up on the inside. We need to say, this is not going to happen to my life anymore. I will not sit back and watch the enemy try to destroy me. Amen. Come on, guys. I know life's hard. I know you're going through it. Trials and tribulations are all around you. But don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop praying for your mom to be healed. Don't stop praying for the scholarship of your school's choice. Don't stop working for an undefeated season. You rise up. I don't care how difficult your next opponent may be. You fight with tenacity. You rise up with resolve. You say, I won't back down. I don't care how addicted you were. You stand up on the inside and say, I'm never going back. When you do that, character will rise up within you. And when you walk in that character, you take one right decision after another. And once you make one right choice, it builds character. Man, I did something good today. Man, I had a girl, I sat at the lunch table at Griffin High School today, and I talked with a young lady, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Pastor Jonathan, this summer I made a commitment to God at my church, and all summer long I broke every single one of those commitments. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, Sunday I was at church and I looked at that piece of paper I signed that said, I'll keep myself pure. I won't do drugs. I will be holy as God is holy. And she looked at her commitment, and at first she began to cry because she'd broken every one. The inside, she was defeated, depressed, crushed. But she said, something happened, Pastor Jonathan. And I looked at that and I said, God, I don't want to be this person anymore that breaks her word. And she said, from that moment on, I made a new covenant with God and I recommitted my life to Him. And I said, you know what? I won't go back. And she told me that today, she said, Pastor Jonathan, people offered me 2 times blunts at school, twice. And I said, no, that's not who I am anymore. She stood up with resolve and she started walking in character. And that character produced some hope that wasn't in her eyes before. And that hope will know, it won't disappoint her. And it won't disappoint you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's power in Jesus. Why do we stop? Why do we give up? Why do we not fulfill all that God has created us for? I want to give us 4 quick things that I've been studying and found that I want to share with you tonight. Number one is we lose our frame of reference. Everybody repeat that. We lose our frame of reference. We lose our frame of reference. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us, every sin that so easily entangles us. Let me just explain to you something. A part of who I am passionate about people. And if you are crazy, then I love you. If you are crazy, then you may be crazy for the wrong things right now. You may be so hormonally off the wall crazy that you're obsessed with the opposite sex. You can't think of anything else but that fine looking girl over there. But one thing I know, you may be totally obsessed with your next fix. You may be crazy about getting high this weekend. You may be crazy about drinking something that you're not legally allowed to drink. You may be crazy about it. But here's one thing I know. If you're crazy for something, you can definitely be crazy for Jesus. If you're crazy for something, You will eventually, the truth is going to be revealed to you to where you'll recognize, just like the young lady I talked to at lunch, that that life is so childish. It's so unfulfilling. There's no hope in it because there's no eternal future in it. And when you find Jesus for real, your heart will be so in love with Him. And the people that are most insane for the enemy will be the most on fire believers for Jesus. One of the people I look to the most that gives me hope is my wife. When I see you guys going through stuff and I see you failing, when I see you miserably succumbing to temptation, when I see you living it up on Facebook and not even caring what the world thinks, I look at you and I'm reminded of my wife. And it helps me not give up on you. Because my wife was on drugs. She was dropping acid at 13 years old. She was a goth. She was into witchcraft. She was doing god-awful things. She went to hotel parties where they would roll up with the Word of God. They had no respect for Jesus. It's not funny. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that her heart is 100 and completely sold out for Jesus Christ. And if she can be changed, anybody can be changed. If she can be transformed, anyone can be transformed. She was given a tough deal in life. But the difference between her and some of you is she decided not to give up and quit on the inside. She's so much more. She makes me so much better. She makes me who I am today. And it's if you're passionate for something, I know you can be passionate for God. But the problem is we lose our frame of reference. Instead of chasing God, we chase girls. Instead of chasing the Holy Spirit, we pursue the next high. Hebrews 12:1 says there's a great cloud of witnesses. Many people feel that this verse is communicating that like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the saints of heaven are all watching us. Glory to God, there's Jordan in all her glory, sitting in Relentless Student Ministries. Let us be a great cloud of witnesses surrounding her praise and worship. But really, I was researching this, and I think that these aren't just like eerie ghosts, like a ride at Disney World, right? It's not the monster plantation that we're at Relentless tonight. No, that's not the great cloud of witnesses. They're not watching you, but they're witnessing to you. See, we all would agree that it's difficult to live right for Jesus, if we're honest. It's not easy to live right for Jesus. But Hebrews communicates that we have a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and done it successfully. They are testifying. Because they can do it, you can do it. That's the great cloud of witnesses. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm doing this thing, son. I know what I'm doing. I'm not falling to temptation. I am going boldly to the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that my God answers prayer. There's nothing that can stop me. I won't quit. So you follow me. I'm one of your great cloud of witnesses. If you'll watch me and do what I do, then you'll be successful in this thing. You'll stop being defeated. See, many of us have given up and stopped short because we've stopped focusing on the right frame of reference. Instead of the mentoring coach, Coach D is a good coach with a good heart. He mentors you with more than just football. Instead of focusing on him, we focus on the scandalous cheerleader who's almost unconscious with hormones. Don't worry about that girl. She's crazy. She's trying to destroy your life. Don't lose your frame of reference. If you succeed, don't stop believing in God and start believing that you got there yourself, because God is the one who establishes anything that's good. Don't lose your frame of reference and get caught up in yourself, because you haven't done jack compared to Jesus. Jesus is our focus. He's our frame of reference. He's who makes us successful. And if you fail, don't blame God for allowing it to happen. He's still with you even in your failure, and His grace is sufficient. Get up on the inside. Stop quitting. Don't give up. Don't lose your frame of reference, students. Why do we stop? Why do we give up? Why do we not fulfill all that God has created us for? Number two, as the worship team comes, we get weighed down or tripped up. We get weighed down or tripped up. Hebrews 12:1, the second portion says, "Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us." Throw off every weight. Get rid of it. That means you know God has transformed your life and called you out of the dominion of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of light. That means that what the Bible says, what does light have to do with darkness? What does purity and holiness and godliness have to do with evil, sin, and death? There should be no union between the two. Hebrews says, throw off every weight that weighs you down and hinders you, the sin that so easily entangles us. You've got to throw it off. We get rid. We've got to get rid. Some of you need to get rid of your past and find strength to push forward into your future. Some of us, you want to quit today because you have so much in your life that does not need to be there. You want to quit and you want to give up and you're so depressed and emotionally down because you've got all this junk that you need to just get rid of. Stop thinking about it. Stop worrying about it because God doesn't want it in your life anyways. Let it go. Don't stop. Why do we stop? Why do we give up? Number three, we lose sight of the object of our focus. We lose sight of the object of our focus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. See, many of us quit because we're so focused on the problem that we neglect to see Jesus. We get so focused and overwhelmed with the trouble that we're faced with that we lose focus on our God. Don't lose focus on Jesus tonight. I know it's tough what you're going through, but stop looking at the sickness and start looking at the healer. Stop looking at the temptation and start looking at the one who sets captives free. Stop being blind and seek the one who opens the blind eyes. Jesus is what our focus and attention needs to be on. Jesus is the hope for my endurance. Jesus is both the author and the finisher of my faith. I endure because Jesus is the builder of my faith. Jesus was there at the foundation of the world. Surely He can build your life. If He can create everything that we know and see, surely He can build something good in you. Because we're just simple human beings in comparison to a massive universe. So if we would just fix our eyes on Jesus, maybe we wouldn't quit. Maybe we wouldn't give up. Number four, we lose sight of just how close we are to victory. Many of us give up. We're so close to winning this thing. We give up right when Jesus is about to turn the tide. Right when He's about to place one foot across the goal line. I've come tonight to tell you that you've got this thing won if you hold on to Jesus. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. You may have had plenty of failures even this week. Don't stop. Jesus will win in the end. And you want to be on His team. I want you to stand to your feet. I want everyone to have your full attention up here. No one talking, being distracting. This weekend, just for a second, I want you to look at me. This weekend, our student leaders, most of us went on a retreat in Douglasville, Georgia. I was thinking about it, and the car ride home, it was funny, Jordan Jones was sitting shotgun with me. And some of y'all are so addicted to your phones, it's not even funny, right? Y'all love your phones, right? You eat, sleep, and drink with your phone in your hand. It's like you cuddle with it by your pillow. You got to have your phone. Right? Yeah. Well, unfortunately for Jordan, she was in my car and there was one iPhone charger. And guess whose phone was plugged in? Mine. It's my car. You pay for it, you can have the charger. And her phone was dead. Her phone was toast. It would not light up. It was broke as a joke. She asked me 3, 4, 5, 6 times, "Are you sure you don't want to let me use your charger?" And playfully I said, "Absolutely not. Your phone's dead for a reason, girl. You need Jesus." And I just wondered tonight, how many of you want to quit? How many of you want to die on the inside because you've been disconnected from God? How many of you have not been charging with this Jesus that we've talked about all night long? Spiritually on the inside, you've got to get Jesus up on the inside of you. You've got to get Jesus running through your veins. You've lost connection with the Lord and Savior. You haven't touched your Bible in months. The only time you've prayed is "God bless this food to my body," or "Jesus help me win this game tonight." But you've never actually charged yourself with the Word of God. You've never actually meditated and said, "God, I need you." You've never actually cast your cares upon Christ because He cares for you. And because of that reason, it's left you empty, drained, ready to quit. Tonight is an opportunity for you to reconnect with the one true God that can give you the victory over any problem that you face. So I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. There's two people in this room. The first group, you've never connected to Jesus. You've never given Him your heart. And you've lived in defeat. You've gone from one defeat to the next, one pain to the next, one load of suffering, one dose of heartbreak to the next. You've tried to persevere, but you don't got anything left on the inside. And all you want to do is quit. Somebody, I know that there's somebody in this room, you've had thoughts of ending it. Jesus brought me in this room tonight to tell you, do not stop, do not quit, do not give up. I will give you life and life that is abundant if you will just connect with me tonight. If you'll just give me your heart, if you'll just give me your worries, your stress, your anxiety, if you just cast it all on me, I'll take it all away. I'll give you the strength to keep going. Some of you need to connect with Jesus tonight for the very first time. He died on a Calvary's cross for the sin that you committed. He died and brutally was slain on that tree, a price that you and I deserved. But He did it for you so that you wouldn't have to suffer, so that you could walk in victory. And if that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. If that's you and you know deep down inside you need to connect with Jesus, your heart is far from Him. And you're facing some things that you are just all but ready to quit and give up with. If you want to give your heart to Jesus right now, I want you to lift your hand and hold it high. I want to pray with you. Thank you so much. I see you in the back. Who else? Thank you, Jesus. Who else? This is your time. Don't stop now. Don't give up. I see you. Rise up on the inside. Connect with the one true God this evening. Everyone in the room, repeat after me. Jesus, I need you. Save me. I can't do this on my own. Help me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Fill me with your power. Give me the strength to keep going. God, write my name in the book of life. Save my soul tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's the second group, and I want my leaders to come to the front quickly. It's the second group in this room tonight. And some of you who just connected with Jesus, you need to come and connect with somebody. We want to pray with you. But you're a believer. You love Jesus with all your heart. He saved your soul. You're on your way to heaven. But you're facing something that you're ready to give up on. It's hard. It's hard. You need to persevere. And we want to help you. You've got a prayer on your heart that you need Jesus to answer. Let's partner together. And by faith, we'll see it done. Because when we persevere, it builds something in us. It's character. And that character produces hope. And that hope will not disappoint. Amen? So if you need Jesus to intervene in your life, if you need a supercharge, you've been running on empty as a believer, and you need to get some charging up like your dead iPhone, get to this altar tonight. And we'd love to pray with you. Let's pray. Go ahead.